This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. UMNO headquarters, the World Trade Center, was a sea of red and white over the weekend as the party faithful gathered for the General Assembly. The mood at this year's assembly was in stark contrast to previous years, coming on the back of triumphant wins in the Johor and Malacca state elections. This was also the first General Assembly since Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri became Prime Minister, putting UMNO back in the driver's seat of government.
But while Ismail Sabri may be the leader of the cabinet, within UMNO he still ranks third, behind President Dato Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi and Deputy President Dato Sri Mohamad Hassan. So one of the issues being closely watched is whether UMNO leaders would signal when the next GE15 will be called. Although leaders were coy about the decision, Ismail Sabri made several policy announcements that indicate elections are on the horizon, such as the raising minimum wage to 2,500 ringgit and the move to strengthen usage of the national language.
So the question we have today is, has UMNO managed to put aside its fractious internal politics in its bid to return to Malaysian political dominance? For analysis on the outcome of the meeting, we have on the line with us Adib Zalkapli, Director of Bauer Group Asia. Adib, good morning. Thanks as always for speaking to us. What were your key takeaways from the UMNO General Assembly this year in terms of how the party sees itself in the political landscape? Is UMNO essentially back?
Yeah, essentially that is the message to the public. The party is back in control. And this is, I guess, the best party conference we've seen since 2018. The party is fresh from an election victory in Johor and also in Malacca. And yeah, the message is the party is back and prepared to face the next general election.
I'm curious though, Adib, the party, what does it see itself? Is it the same UMNO before GE14 or is it a very different party today?
Well, it's fundamentally, it's still a different party. It has not changed its structure, still remains part of Barisan Nasional and continues to lead Barisan Nasional despite, you know, changes in the political landscape, the realignment of political alliances. UMNO appears not to be affected by those realignment of alliances in Malaysian politics.
But prior to this, right, after their loss in GE14, there was a lot of noise about reform within UMNO, a change of the way they're doing things. Do you see that at all? Or because they've been so successful in Malacca, Johor, they don't see the necessity for that? And it's back to the status quo.
Well, in terms of, I think, reform, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you can see it's happening in a way that it's not the party that led the government, that leads the government on its own. So, you know, it's working with other coalition partners in the federal government, which is why I think we're seeing a lot more differences of opinion in public compared to before GE14, when I think the party would, you know, exclusively speak through the president, the party leader. But today we don't see that anymore. There's a lot of differences of opinion, like when, for example, like when the general election should be called. You know, you can see those in the cabinet are saying, you know, maybe it should be delayed a bit, whereas those who are not in the cabinet are saying, you know, it should be called as soon as possible. As the party just won big in Johor and Malacca.
So you talk about the general election. There was no ultimate decision on calling for a snap general elections, with Prime Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri saying it will be decided by the top five party leaders. What factors will influence this decision?
Well, the Prime Minister, I think there are two parts to this. One is, I think constitutionally, it's the Prime Minister that should advise the Yang di-Pertuan Agong on the dissolution of Parliament. But at the same time, being the number three in the party, I think he has to consult the other party leaders, which is why, you know, and when he said, you know, the top five will be consulted before a decision is made on the dissolution. This is kind of expected. You know, I'm not usually has a certain discipline in making major decisions like this.
Meanwhile, UMNO party elections will only be held 6 months after GE15. Who does this decision benefit?
Well, obviously, it benefits the current office holders. But this is not entirely unprecedented. UMNO has always, for the last decade or so, even more, UMNO has always been trying to hold party election after the general election, you know, to avoid split in the party, especially at the grassroots level when candidate selections happen, you know, when grassroots members are needed to run the campaign machinery and so on.
And I'm curious, right, because whoever usually emerges as the president of UMNO automatically becomes Prime Minister of Malaysia. That was what happened in the past. Ismail Sabri being the exception here. So who do you think will run for the presidential post?
Well, obviously, I think there are people who made it clear, hinted their intention to lead party, you know, by, you know, announcing call for early general election. And of course, you know, I'm very sure Prime Minister himself will be interested to lead the party, you know, to return to the structure, the previous structure where party leader is automatically the Prime Minister.
Prime Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri made several policy announcements during the Assembly, including the implementation of RM1,500 in minimum wage. How likely will these policies be agreed by the coalition cabinet?
Well, legally, I think the government has to review the minimum wage every 2 years. I think the last review or the last adjustment was made in early 2020. So it's about time a review is completed and a new minimum wage rate is set. In terms of the circumstances behind the announcement, I think in any policy decision, there are two parts of it, right? There's the public relations part of it and then the legal aspect of it. So I think in this case, the Prime Minister used the UMNO Assembly as a platform to announce it, the new minimum wage. But I'm very sure at the same time the legal process is happening within the government. As I said, this is something that has to be done every 2 years.
Adib, can I ask about the challenges that you see ahead for Ismail Sabri as Prime Minister? Will he be able to hang on to the top post for a second term, or are his days numbered? Because as we spoke about who could be the next president of UMNO, he might throw his hat in the ring for that, but I'm sure there are other contenders as well.
Well, I guess it depends a lot on the, a few things, right? It depends on the when the general election is called, and who are the candidates who will contest, whether those who are mostly aligned to him or aligned to others, or and if the party or the Barisan Nasional rather can form a strong majority. So there are a lot of factors, whether like how far or how long he will remain in the Prime Minister's position, whether he will be able to remain as a Prime Minister for another term. And as we have seen, I think in the last two appointments of the Prime Minister, I mean, it's not a straightforward process. There's a statutory declaration, and then there's a selection process that happened at the palace. So it's so there are a lot of, you know, moving parts before we can see where Ismail Sabri is going.
But I, if possible, could we maybe have some specifics in terms of names for the possible contenders for the presidential post? Is it complicated by the fact that current President Zahid Hamidi has cases against him, legal cases?
Yeah, I think the Zahid Hamidi, I think he's kind of hinted that he will not become the Prime Minister. So the implication of that is, you know, he may not remain as the party leader simply because it's not sustainable for a non-prime minister to remain as a party leader for a long time. I think that there's also an UMNO has established structure. There's also the deputy president, who I think in his speeches hinted to maybe aiming towards the party leadership, and there's also, of course, the prime minister, who is the vice president. But we don't know. I mean, once the general election is held, you know, when we have strong winners, you know, if you like, from UMNO, I think then by then we'll see more names who will likely go for the leadership position.
Adib, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Adib Zalkapli, director at Bauer Group Asia, giving us his takeaways from the UMNO General Assembly that was held over the weekend, really just putting into perspective the unprecedented situation that UMNO finds itself in the fact that its president isn't the prime minister of the country. It's
For the first time,
it's the vice president who is the prime minister. Hence, there really does seem to be a sort of power struggle within the party moving forward, something that we're not sure would be resolved by GE15. I don't know.
Depending when GE15 is called, and like you said, right, how well the different names in UMNO do well, that would be probably determining how well they would then do in the UMNO elections.
We will actually be speaking to UMNO Youth Chief Datuk Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki after the breakfast grill. So stay tuned for that. We'll ask him what his thoughts are. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.